every week. So be prepared. Know the concepts. Know bourgeoisie, petty bourgeoisie, the class struggle in particular. Teresa has put up a very, very good explanation on the blackboard of bourgeoisie and the class struggle. You should look at it. Perhaps it can stay there untouched today for a while to give you opportunity to get it down. The American Secretary of State, Cyrus Vance, wants reduction of tension immediately between the USA and the USSR before the world has crossed the point of no return in reference to nuclear war. Cyrus Vance called for reduction of tensions immediately. He urged that we reach an agreement on critical points between the Soviet Union and USA immediately. Then, in a schizophrenic tone, typical of the puppets of the arch enemy of the people, U.S. imperialism, Secretary of State of USA imperialism, Vance went on to be very critical of Soviet interference with what he called African independence. So hypocritical. What he means is Soviet liberation efforts to enable the African people to be independent of the exploiting bourgeoisie of the monopoly capitalist finance capital USA imperialism. His overall tone, however, would tend to take some sharp edges off of the terrible tension that has existed over the past days between the Soviet Union, the vanguard of Marxist-Leninist liberation, and U.S. imperialism, the bastion of oppression. As you know, class enemy, Debbie has now gone into headlines calling us a Soviet and Cuban outpost, heralded that we are loyal totally to the Soviet Union and Cuba. The U.S. government continues to say that there's nothing that can be done. The only reason that that is the case would be that the USA is so involved in exploiting Africa that it has no time to be able to deal with South America, particularly Guyana, where there are not vital resources at stake at this point in time. USA imperialism is too preoccupied with Zaire and the vital minerals to its economic continuation. So you can be sure those that have fearful hearts, unfortunately there are those in the socialist rank that do, that you have no need for concern, because Guyana and People's Temple would be low priority. The Israelis, after much debate in the parliament of the Zionist neo-fascist state, has granted the USA request to give long-range plans for the West Bank. Illegal occupation. However, precise details were lacking, and it looks that it may be another Zionist hypocritical stance. Egyptian ambassador, in what is perhaps one of the first examples of forthright courage of diplomats in this particular decade, has been recalled to appear before disciplinarian criminal commission for his open opposition to Anwar Sadat, who has been elected dictator by the stupidity of the Egyptian people through a referendum. The general, he's a general who is ambassador to Portugal, the Egyptian ambassador to Portugal, has made it very clear how he feels about Anwar Sadat. He has not minced words in any way. General Shad El-Shassi, ambassador to Portugal from Egypt, has said Sadat is no better than the dictators of Spain that were just removed, Generalissimo Franco, and the long-lived dictatorship of Salazar in Portugal. A dread dictator, he said, Anwar Sadat was comparable to an Adolf Hitler. The general has been the former general, chief of staff of the Egyptian army, General Shad El-Shassi, that is. He says he will not return to Egypt unless promised a democratic dialogue with the now elected dictator of Egypt, Anwar Sadat. He said people cannot speak out publicly, and he would rather have death than this inconvenience. General Shad El-Shassi was a long honored hero of Egyptian wars and struggles against Zionist expansion. He accuses Anwar Sadat of wanting to write history before the fact, as Anwar Sadat is engaged already in his memoirs, which is unheard of. A leader is not to write his memoirs while still in office. Memoirs are to be written after one's career is finished. General of the army, Shad El-Shassi, long heroic record goes back to 1967. He was the lone hero of the 1967 war with Zionism. Zionism is the state capitalism of Israel that no way reflects the interest of the Israeli people, the Jewish people, because Zionism allowed Hitler to buy the freedom of rich Jews and helped Hitler lead poor Jews to gas chambers. They were interested in a split deal, and this was arranged under Eichmann. Zionism actually refused and went on record. We have a documentary on our TV stating that the plight of the Jewish people was not the concern of Zionism. That is, those that faced genocide in gas chambers and mass murder in Hitler's Germany. And they openly cooperated, as I said, with the elimination of poor Jews. General Shad El-Shassi has been noted for his constant resistance to Zionism. Because of his uncompromising stand against the neo-fascist state of Israel, he was removed as chief of staff of the army, dismissed, and placed as the ambassador to London because of his popularity and fame with the Egyptian people. Then, gradually, he was demoted to be the ambassador to Portugal and stationed in Lisbon. He not only attacks Sadat's so-called peace initiative, but he attacks Sadat as being an authoritarian dictator and calls him a shoddy politician for attempting to mizzle the Egyptian public with a so-called referendum. Continuing the news. A new session of Rhodesia's white-dominated parliament is convening to discuss the scratching of race laws. Though not optimistic, capitalist interests are requiring, because of the need of chrome for USA and British imperialism, they're attempting to get Ian Smith's dictatorship to scratch some of the most serious race laws. If this can be done, it would help to bring about a ceasefire. A strange paradox exists in Rhodesia or Zimbabwe. A white-dominated parliament and a transitional government of Uncle Tom Black's three top denominational religious leaders who actually have no power whatsoever. The agricultural economy is faltering in Australia to such a degree that it threatens the collapse of capitalism in that subcontinent of Australia. The leading oil producers, OPEC, in Geneva, have reached no agreement on price rises and what will be their medium of exchange. If they change from the U.S. dollar, it could mean economic collapse for USA. OPEC nations predict that there will be oil shortages by the early and no later than mid-80s, if not earlier, and a definite price rise is inevitable this year or next, which will throw the U.S. economy into a catapult. The jury of the Red Brigade considers its verdict. It is quite a difficult situation for a jury to decide, in that they feel intimidated by the militant action of the Red Brigade. Already one group charged with murder have gotten off with a maximum of 15 years, and some were dismissed out of fear that prevails the general mood of Italy that it is dangerous to fool with the Red Brigade, and thus it is not expected for the Italian city residents of Turin to find the Red Brigade guilty by the same standards that they would impose on other weak minorities who will not stand up and fight to defend themselves, as we must here, and have proven that that is the only way to survive healthily and successfully. Many authorities on judicial jurisprudence, democratic judicial systems, say that the entire judicial system is being tested by what happens to the Red Brigade. The balance of political gain, to a certain extent, seems to be for the government. However, the sentences are still only being asked in a new trial of conspirators involved with the kidnapping and execution of the capitalist renegade Aldo Moro, Prime Minister of Italy, are only going to face a maximum of 15 years, and the jury is expected to deliberate into the 1980s out of fear of retaliation from the Red Brigade activists who uncompromisingly stand by Marx and Lenin's concept of armed struggle in order to bring change. That is the brief summary of the main points of the news, or I should say at least the highlights of the news. USSR is being accused by China of gross interference with her sovereignty. The sounds of war drums are being beat again by the renegade mainland Chinese. USSR responds by saying China is despicable for accusing the Soviet Union falsely of starting the conflict between Vietnam and China. Capitalism tends to throw the old, the unemployed, the crippled, and others not directly useful to the rich who own and run our economy on the scrap heap. These people are forced to scrape by on the most meager possible resources. Small pensions and unemployment insurance were only created in response to mass pressure, as the socialist countries have become stronger and more numerous, and the condition of their people has steadily improved. The capitalist rulers of our own USA and other countries have grudgingly permitted improvements in some services to older people who are no longer working, but it is still grossly inadequate. As it is estimated that half of those over 65 in the United States at this hour are suffering from slow starvation, malnutrition. We should be grateful for the benefits we have. The U.S. Space Agency hopes to perform a critical maneuver this weekend in a last-ditch effort to prevent the 80-ton Skylab from plummeting back to Earth and showering debris on populated areas of the entire globe. On Sunday, officials of the National Aeronautics and Space Agency will attempt to reactivate the satellite's guidance system. If the move is successful, the station orbit could be changed slightly, temporarily delaying its expected fire return to Earth. If not, the giant station will break up over the Earth sometime by the end of this year or early next year. If it falls on a city, tens of thousands of lives will be lost. The Congressional Black Caucus, under fire, fighting for its very survival after Senator Brooke has now been charged and Barbara Jordan, who has played it safe, moderate voice of Texas, has announced her resignation after smear campaigns in the press and impending indictments. The Black Caucus warned this morning against creating a Vietnam-type situation in Africa. Speaking for the black representatives, Representative Perrin Mitchell, Democrat Maryland, already being smeared by the press and under criminal investigation, said the question of possible Cuban or Soviet action on the continent is an internal position for the various African states to resolve. Perhaps the persecution of blacks in the caucus, black leaders, are causing some to wake up. He said the caucus stated its opposition to the creation of any European military force in Africa unless it is done at the request of the Organization of African Unity. That is by long means falls short of being any support for Soviet or Cuban liberation efforts. But at least it is a step forward for a black caucus that has played it safe. The Shah of Iran said last week, Iran in its entirety will go over to the outlawed Today Masses Party unless something is done soon to prevent it. Riot police attacked protesting students at the University of Tehran. Thousands have been arrested in Tehran, including numbers of women students. The Today Party, T-U-D-E-H, is Iran's Marxist-Leninist party. The Shah spoke after returning from a four-day visit to the northeast province of Khorasan, K-H-O-R-A-S-A-N. Anti-Shah protests have been rising since January. It was only just 2 days ago that he was cockily sure that he would remain in power. Last month, more than 5 million people in 34 major cities took part in the protest against the dictatorial regime of the Shah of Iran that is held in power by our tax dollars, which causes us pain and guilt. He is upheld by the CIA. Army police repression has cost over 1,000 lives this week. To discourage solidarity actions from the international public, the Shah's regime has tried to make out the protests are by fanatical Muslims. This week, the Shah spoke of an alleged alliance of black reaction and red terror. He said, if we patriots fall, Iran in its entirety will go over to the Marxist-Leninist Today Party. That is T-U-D-E-H. The International Longshoremen's and Warehousemen's Union recently restated its support for the early conclusion of a strategic arms limitation agreement, recalling the SALT resolution passed by the union's executive board last November. The Hawaiian publication Voice of the ILWU said in its most recent edition, the International Longshoremen and Warehousemen Union wants a treaty to slow down the dangerous arms race before it drags us into an unthinkable nuclear war where everyone would lose. There are powerful people, military, industrial, financial, who don't want it. They encourage East-West antagonisms because it is profitable for the military-industrial complex. This is a renewed statement of left idealism and principle, which has long been silent in the ILWU. Retired Israeli Chief of Staff General Mordechai Gur recently apologized in writing to North African Jews in Israel for a slur against Sephardic or Oriental Jews. Upon his return from Europe, Gur, G-U-R, faced an uproar because he had told the prestigious newspaper Al Hamishmar the reason there were so few Oriental Jews as top officers in the army, despite the fact that they make up more than half the country's population, is because it takes them much longer than others to master the intricacies of modern technology. Blatant racism. In spite of the lack of press reportage of what really takes place in Israel and in Tel Aviv, there's a growing left resistance that is in the spirit of the traditional Jewish concern for social activism. The Communist Party USA yesterday sent warm fraternal greetings and a pledge of solidarity to the Progressive Party of Working People, AKEL, of Cyprus, on the occasion of the latter party's 14th Congress. The Progressive Marxist-Leninist Party of Cyprus is growing rapidly. Mexico's Federal Electoral Commission yesterday unanimously decided to grant provisional registration to the Mexican Communist Party. If the Communist Party candidates of Mexico receive 1.5% of the votes in the July 1979 parliamentary elections, the party will be fully legalized for the first time in many decades. Abdel Fattah Ismail, General Secretary of the United Political Organization National Front, UPONF, has warned of an imperialist and reactionary threat to the People's Democratic Republic of Yemen, South Yemen. In a recent speech, Ismail said imperialist, that's I-S-M-A-I-L, I want to correct the pronunciation. He said imperialist and reactionary forces are preparing attacks centered from the U.S. imperialists in Washington against the national sovereignty and the anti-imperialist development of the People's Democratic Republic of Yemen. He said the people of the PDRY are ready to smash these attacks as they have in the past, having received the broad support of the Soviet Union. In another development, a huge People's Democratic Republic of Yemen military delegation was warmly welcomed in Berlin, capital of the Free German Democratic Republic, the East Communist Modern State. The delegation arrived in the German Democratic Communist Republic the same day Ismail spoke at Aden. Lieutenant Colonel Ali Ahmed Nasser Antar, the People's Democratic Republic of Yemen, defense minister, and member of the UPONF Central Committee, headed the delegation. Sao Paulo, Brazil. The important strike of Brazilian auto workers in Sao Paulo has been joined by textile, electronics, construction, and clerical workers, it is learned this week. News about the strike has been difficult to obtain since the Brazilian military fascist regime that was put in power by our tax dollars in a CIA coup that overthrew the democratically elected government of João Goulart. Since that military fascist regime has imposed strict censorship on all news of the protest, it is difficult to know exactly what is taking place in Brazil, which is in great turmoil. Sao Paulo, Brazil's industrial center, accounts for more than half of Brazil's entire gross national product, the GNP, or total output of goods and services. It is the center of Brazil's steel and auto industries. The strikes affects SAAB, Saab, Mercedes-Benz, Volkswagen, Ford, Chrysler, Philips, SEMA, Rodia, General Electric, Mannesmann, Steel, Villares, Auto Equipment, and the textile mills in Santo André, 16,000 workers. Strikes are illegal under Brazil's fascist regime, put in power by USA imperialism, but it doesn't seem to mind that the citizens of Brazil face upwards of 10 years of sentences for striking, because there are an estimated 100,000 known to be involved in general strikes. The strike has been backed by the only legally permitted opposition party, the Brazilian Democratic Movement, MDB. The Roman Catholic Church, headed by Cardinal Evaristo Anes, the student unions of Sao Paulo University, and the Sao Paulo Journalist Union, steel and auto workers in Brazil, are combined now in the 900,000 strong Brazil Metal Workers Federation strike. It's 1 million strike. I said 100,000. It's 1 million striking people in Brazil. Enough to bring down an economy. Let's hope their courage holds out. Bravo and salutations to our neighbors to the south. Judge and further discriminatory efforts to destroy Huey Newton denies press gag order in an attack coldly calculated to deny Black Panther Party President Huey P. Newton his constitutional right to trial by an impartial jury. Alameda County Superior Court Judge Martin Pulick denied a defense motion to restrain officials of the County District Attorney's Office and the prejudiced Oakland Police Department from making vicious public statements totally unrelated to the current false charges against Huey that have severely impugned his character and credibility. As you know, he's in difficulty also because he has fallen prey, as all people do who use drugs and alcohol, to one Bert Schneider, filmmaker. He has gotten involved in a homosexual affair, and the man is intimidating him with public revelation of same if he does not follow his ever demand. According to Charles Gary, Huey Newton is a virtual slave to this unknown Schneider. He's thought to be an agent, but he's a wealthy one, and he maintains Huey, and for that, Huey has to give him body, mind, and soul. Black ministers and other activists in San Francisco demand community control of San Francisco schools, but at this point, the boycott has been unsuccessful, as black minority officials, professional appointees, superintendents, principals, and teachers have been reduced to almost nil in the San Francisco community. Scientologists launch spy network against government abuse. The Church of Scientology, under an attack to destroy it, like ourselves, in all the United States, held a kickoff rally its recently formed massive spy network of American citizens, which will expose and publicize the illegal fascist government activities of invasion of privacy and violence against people violating their constitutional rights. The nationwide group named American Citizens for Honesty in Government was formed by Reverend Arthur Marin, chief spokesperson for the Scientology Church in USA and keynote speaker at a recent rally following his recent imprisonment for 8 months for refusal to cooperate with a grand jury conducting a witch hunt into religion. Government has had a chance to clean house after Watergate, Reverend Marin said in a recent statement, but fell far short of any significant reforms because of what he calls a fascist mood in USA. Now it's up to the people to restore integrity to American government. He has called on every honest government employee to turn over to the ACHG Ethics Committee or Commission information on illegal government criminal activities and dishonesty amongst government officials. We will investigate, document, expose, and publish what we find, Reverend Marin said. He went on to say that the church has been running a program called Snow White, which was the target of FBI raids of all Scientology churches just a few months ago, which involved 134 FBI agents. Marin explained that the church had kept the program confidential, as we did not want to embarrass government agencies and congressional committees. Continuing, he said, apparently some dishonest bureaucrats found the Snow White program upsetting. The purpose of the program is, and always has been, to bring about a political reform, defense of individual liberty, and securing individual privacy with freedom from corrupt or dishonest officials. When these corrupt officials start using press, such as the Washington Post, even, and New York Times, for smear campaigns to try to invalidate the traditional reform role of the church and civil activists, the Scientology official continued, we decided that we have to go public if we have any self-respect at all. We are grassroots vigilantes spying out the forces of fascist evil. The media, our newspapers and television call it investigative reporting. Dishonest officials and dishonest newspapers with criminal acts to hide call it a threat to the national security. Dellum seeks arms budget cut. Bay Area Congressman Ronald Dellums, also under investigation, last week urged the House to cut $9.5 billion from the proposed 1979 Defense Department budget. Someone has to stay out there every year and challenge the waste of tax dollars, Dellums said in an appeal to the moderate and conservative. His substitute proposal limiting defense spending to $37.9 billion was voted down by the Armed Services Committee, of which Dellums is a member. Dellums refused to speak out against the senator who started our conspiracy, Senator Stennis, because he is the head of the Armed Services Committee, as you know. The committee's authorization exceeds the Carter administration's request by $2.5 billion. Elderly are dumped in slums. States are dumping thousands of elderly mental patients into slum hotels and boarding homes in order to get federal welfare funds to care for them. A congressional study released last week charged the federal government pays $137 a month to an institution to support elderly indigents in hotels or profit-making boarding homes, up to $167 a month. The study found that since 1966, the number of patients over 65 in state institutions have dropped 66%, and they're living in poverty and slow starvation, as I said, over half of the USA nation's elderly in ghettos. Indian hunting rights hit. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service recently announced plans to deny waterfowl hunting rights to all Native Americans and Eskimos. Under the plan, out-of-season hunting of migratory birds, which are not in USA or in Alaska, in the months when it is legal to hunt them will be outlawed, despite the fact that the birds have been designated as a subsistence food source, especially for Native Americans and Eskimos. More Korea Gate bribes exposed, but little is being done. 10 current congresspersons have been proved to receive cash bribes from the KCIA and former South Korean ambassador of the fascist South Korean puppet regime of U.S. imperialism, Ambassador Kim Dong-jol. Identified members of Congress have been proven of accepting envelopes stuffed, literally stuffed with hundreds of bills of $100 denominations from Kim in the influence fascist buying scandal, but none of them have been indicted, whereas nearly all of the black congressmen and the only black senator are under criminal investigation and newspaper attack. Well, due largely to massive pressure from civil liberties group, the Senate passed criminal code bill, hopefully is dead for this year. The measure, which has been attacked as the most repressive piece of legislation since the alien and sedition laws, has been stalled in a House subcommittee since February, and congressional sources agree the proposal is going to be difficult to get out this year. The House Judiciary Subcommittee, however, hopes to complete a compromise bill by the end of this month and secure final legislative approval before this 95th Congress adjourns. They always get another bill, which is equally bad. Black man murdered after being charged with the rape of a white woman without benefit of trial outside of Mobile, Alabama. A black man, Tom Jason Johnson, was taken by a mob and killed after being mutilated before he was hung. He was attacked with machetes. There was no indication that he was guilty for the alleged rape. Tupelo, Mississippi blacks continue to be oppressed by the worst police brutality probably taking place today in U.S. society. It's a concentrated effort to drive all blacks from the entire area and being headed by the white knights of the Ku Klux Klan. Houston police discrimination against blacks and Chicano has stepped up the Chicano protest. As yet, black activists have not been actively organizing, but the Chicanos have had 50 insurrections in the past 2 months and have jammed repeatedly the Centro de Atlan, a Chicano community center, and voted to form the Moody Park Barrio Defense Coalition to take militant, resistant actions against the racist Ku Klux Klan-dominated Houston Police and Sheriff's Department. UNITA aid blasted. In testimony before Congress, ex-CIA agent John Stockwell, himself under investigation, blasted as appalling the Carter administration's pressing for repeal of the Tunney-Clark Amendment so that it can resume covert military support to the fascist union for the liberation of Angola called UNITA. It forces a policy which will guarantee prolonged bitter conflict in Angola. Stockwell since has now been indicted and faces criminal charges because of the revelations he has given about the CIA. Also the one that wrote Indecent Interval, telling of the CIA activities, has been arrested. Mark Lane, because of revelations of government involvement in the murder of Kennedy's and Malcolm and Martin Luther King, is under criminal investigation and press newspaper smears. same goes for Larry Flint, who has brought proof before his paper folded the Los Angeles Free Press of the involvement of the government in the murder of Kings, both Kings and Martin Luther King. He, as you know, was paralyzed from a bullet wound in his spine. And he faces three criminal counts. One, which promises to put him in prison for 25 years. Seek Nkomo support. Graaf Reinet, South Africa. In a defiant speech to mark 30 years of uninterrupted rule by the National Party, the leader of South Africa's illegal white minority government, South African Prime Minister John Vorster urged President Carter to persuade Patriotic Front co-leader Joshua Nkomo to join Rhodesia's bogus transitional government. Vorster, fascist, also took a swipe at America's Deputy UN Ambassador Donald McHenry for blaming South Africa for the failure to reach an internationally acceptable majority rule settlement in Namibia, as Africa, South African white regime is trying to break its promise. Mozambican blasts U.S. news. An angry magazine editor from Mozambique recently blasted Western imperialism, particularly USA, news reporting of events in Mozambique. The Western press reports that we have Cubans, Bulgarians, and people from the socialist countries as advisors and helpers, said Alves Gomez, the editor of Tempo magazine. Why don't they say that we have more volunteers from Sweden than from anywhere, Gomez said. The Mozambican editor said that Cuba has sent numerous advisors, not one of them a soldier, most of whom are helping to establish Mozambique's social services, hospitals and schools, and heavy industry. The famine continues to threaten West Africa and is expected, unless USA stops its resistance so that the Soviet Union can get in the immediate relief necessary, 457,000 tons of relief grains. It is expected that there will be hundreds of thousands of deaths before the fall of this year. South Africa is trying to promote third force to neutralize black liberation, but unsuccessful thus far. New protest in Nicaragua. Government troops last week took over the northern city of Estil, Esteil, where thousands of demonstrators burned factory stores and homes in a violent anti-government protest, which, if they are arrested, can lead to life imprisonment. Soldiers attacked a high school occupied by some 2,000 striking students in Estili, 93 miles north of this capital city. The troops dispersed the students amid reports that numerous people had been beaten and killed and injured badly in the clash. Nicaragua, dictatorship of Somoza, has been upheld by U.S. imperialism for 40-some years. Guzman, as you know, won the Democratic Dominican Republic election, and there's been an effort by the army to intervene to halt the ballot counting. It is not yet known the results. The army had intervened to halt the ballot counting, as you know, a few days ago when it appeared that Balaguer was losing. The opposition leader, Antonio Guzman, was declared, however, the new president of this Central Caribbean nation, ending Joaquin Balaguer's 12-year rule. He received such massive support. Left-of-center Guzman, a 67-year-old wealthy rancher, went on nationwide television to announce that his first priority would be to obtain national unity after the hotly disputed election. The people's will was so strong that it has stopped the army intervention, and it seems that Guzman will be allowed to take power. He may be in danger of assassination, but he is in power. Secret government papers released by government activists who've left the U.S. government out of fear of its fascist nature suggests that U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration's DEA of officials discussed a plot to assassinate Panamanian leader General Omar Torrijos. A government official said the charges stemming back to the late 1960s and early 70s were aimed at the recent closed hearings during the Senate debate on the Panama Canal treaties. Palestinians step up attacks. Palestinian commandos recently mounted many attacks on Israeli forces, inflicting losses in men and material on the fascist aggressive enemy. Al-Bath, B-A-A-T-H, reports time bombs placed by Palestinian commandos at the Israeli officers' dormitory in northern Tel Aviv and the building of the Israeli military intelligence, comparable to the CIA, in suburban Tel Aviv, damaged both buildings and people. A number of the enemy were killed or wounded, and several military vehicles wrecked. The Palestinians also hurled an incendiary bomb at a group of enemy soldiers and police on duty in Tel Aviv, causing a number of casualties. Catholic nuns blast U.S. policy. We are glad for that. We're glad to see some standing up and speaking out. Catholic nuns of the New York area have spoken up very valiantly, saying that it's time that they become concerned about things other than just religious, of a religious nature. And indeed, that is true. We are doomed to death unless we see involvement at all levels these days, because it is indeed a very difficult situation. Fascism is really attempting to destroy the United States. White American Catholic nuns who have been deported from Rhodesia predicted here last week that the bogus transitional regime in the former British colony will collapse before the end of this year, and that a patriotic front victory is very imminent. In a wide-ranging press conference sponsored by the Third World Fund, Sister Janice McLaughlin, who headed the nuns that were deported by the white regime, attacked U.S. foreign policy in Africa as dangerous and destructive, and challenged the Carter right-wing administration to openly support African liberation movements. The USA has to make a choice, said Sister McLaughlin, who is a member of the New York-based Mary Knoll Order of Nuns. There is no middle road. Too often in the past, we have supported white racism. The 36-year-old nun was deported, along with four of her fellow sisters in the Mary Knoll Order, from Rhodesia a few months ago after 3 weeks of imprisonment resulting from the publication of a report of the Rhodesian Catholic Bishops' Conference Justice and Peace Commission entitled Rhodesia, a Propaganda War Backed by U.S. Capital. Thus ends the news commentary for the day. There is a rumor, in closing, that Ian Smith, fascist prime minister of Rhodesia's illegal white minority government for over 12 years, that he will retire at the end of this year. At the time, the white rebel leader said he expects national elections to take place as scheduled by the executive council formed by Smith and three black ministerial denominational leader Uncle Tom's sellout leaders as part of the bogus internal settlement. As you know, former CIA director William Colby and the present CIA head said that it would be moral still for the CIA to aid in an attempt to assassinate Ugandan President Idi Amin if the safety and welfare of the United States could somehow be related to it, cooked up to be related to it. That was just the way it was worded in an interview in Playboy magazine's July issue. The CIA head predicted Amin would not die a natural death.